This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might want to go to the website to re-listen to this program. You might also want to read my weekly meditation there. If you'd like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, I'll need your name and address so I can send it on to them. So if you need either my mailing address or website address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those down at the close of the program. Now, last time we were dealing with Luke chapter 11, having to do with the section where an unclean spirit goes out of a man and he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And we find out that the latter end of that man is worse than the first, because other wicked spirits come into that clean house. And we mentioned that this is a difficult passage to interpret, but at the same time, in my mind, it's talking about Israel. When John the Baptist came and preached repentance, they basically were prepared for the coming of the Lord. But as a nation, while the unclean spirits, in a sense, had been driven out, they had been cleansed, made ready for the coming of the Lord, they never received the Lord. And as a result, the nation, in crucifying the Lord, has been made worse off than they were before. And so, while this could probably be applied specifically to individuals, I would like to think about the nation of Israel, that in crucifying the Lord, in rejecting the Lord, has had unclean spirits come in and permeate the land. The children of Israel have always been criticized in the Old Testament for the fact that they turned to idolatry, the idolatry that Abraham came out of, and the idolatry that was in the land when they came into the land. They've always turned to that idolatry and turned away from the Lord. And in doing that, they have also, in some cases, taken the poor and mistreated them. And the Lord always had a concern for the poor. And so idolatry and the mistreatment of the poor, taking advantage of the poor, not judging their griefs properly or their suits properly, their legal problems properly, these were things that they were condemned for. And so the nation as a whole never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus, but that's coming. There's a day coming when the nation as a whole will realize that they crucified the Lord, and they will say, as it says in Isaiah 53, "Why, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And when that happens, then the nation will become the centerpiece of the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, having said that, we want to go on to Matthew 11 and verse 27, which is appropriate this time of the year for us. It's appropriate for us to read this. Perhaps not a passage we would read normally at Christmas time, and then again just before New Year's when this program will air, but I think it's appropriate. Matthew 11 verse 27 says, "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.'" Now, obviously, she's referring back to the events that we believe occurred at Christmas season. We know that the Lord was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He was born to Mary, the handmaiden of the Lord, the one who had been chosen by God to be the tool through whom the Lord would come. And they say, "Blessed is Mary," basically. And I want you to remember that Mary was blessed. But we don't worship Mary. We worship the Lord, because as you go on into this passage, you'll find out how great the Lord is. And so in Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now, when it says that we keep the word of God, we often believe that we always are able to keep from violating the commands of God. That's the way this is usually understood. But really, when it says, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, it's those who hear the word of God and guard it. And of course, that does mean that we try not to violate the commands of Scripture. But at the same time, when we violate the commands of Scripture, if we confess our sin, we are keeping or guarding the word even when it condemns us. So the emphasis here is on the fact that just as Mary was blessed because she was a chosen vessel to bring the Lord into this world, we too can be blessed if we have a reverence for the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings us to faith in Christ. It's the Word of God that reveals the future for the believer and the future for the unbeliever. It's the Word of God that gives us peace in times of trouble. It's the Word of God that we who are saved reverence and read and meditate on and guard. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. This is the generation, of course, the children of the descendants of the patriarchs that are going to have every opportunity to receive the Lord, and instead they're going to crucify the Lord. And he says, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, this brings us to the new year. This brings us to new life. This brings us to the resurrection. When we look at Jonah the prophet, Jonah was disobedient. He was a reluctant prophet, I might say. He didn't want to go and do the Lord's bidding. He didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell them that judgment was coming. And there are many people who look at his desire to avoid going to Nineveh in different ways. But I really believe that Jonah, as a prophet, knew that one day the Assyrians and the people who were associated with Nineveh would come down and would bring judgment on Israel. And I think, if I'm right on this, about 100 years after Jonah preached, that did happen. Not because Nineveh was so good, but because Israel was so departed from the Lord in moving into idolatry and in the moving away from the worship of Jehovah. And so the sign of the prophet Jonah had to do with Jonah, the reluctant prophet, fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and you just simply can't do that. And as a result, he went into a ship, and he paid a fare to go down to Tarshish, and we always pay when we flee from the Lord. It's always costly. And ultimately, because of a great storm, Jonah was thrown into the water, was thrown overboard, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him. And Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, and then he was regurgitated and ultimately was sent again to Nineveh and did the work that the Lord asked him to do. He preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't preach a lot. He just preached those 8 words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Nineveh as a city repented, which Israel did not do, but Nineveh as a city, a Gentile city, repented and the Lord spared them. And of course, this didn't make Jonah very happy. Now, I would not look at Jonah as a great prophet, but the Lord did. And so what happened there has been questioned down through the years. Was this, in fact, a story, a mythical story? Was this an allegory, or did this actually happen? And the Lord says that it actually happened. The sign of the prophet Jonah is the sign that will be given to the current generation. Jews always needed a sign that the truth of God was being proclaimed, and this is the sign. And the sign was simply that Christ would be crucified, would be buried, and would be raised again on the third day, and the sign came true. And just as the Lord has new life, a resurrected life, when we trust in him, we have a new life. And as we go into the new year, What a blessed thing it would be to have our sins all forgiven and put behind us and to be enjoying that new life. For those of us that are saved, that happened to us perhaps some time back. But for those of you that are still wrestling with this issue of your relationship with God, now would be the time to begin a resurrected life, to be able to say that you've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Not you, but Christ lives in you. And so you could be like Paul, living the resurrected life, a life that spiritually is a resurrected life, whereas with Jonah, he was a picture of the physical life of resurrection, and the Lord, in his resurrection, has given us assurance that all of the things that he preached are true, and that he is, in fact, the very Son of God, and that he is coming again, and in spite of how tumultuous things have become in our life, he's the one in whom we have our hope. He's the one that we as believers believe has things under control. He has things mapped out, so to speak, at least with regard to the nations. And the question is, are you going to trust him, or are you going to be a part of the plan that the Lord has mapped out for unbelievers? And that plan is to cast them out of his presence forever. Now, as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be a sign to this generation. And the Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba, will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. So we don't worship Mary, we don't worship Jonah, we don't worship Solomon, we worship Christ because he's greater than all of them. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And here, as we go into another year, the Lord is giving us another opportunity to worship the one who is greater than any Old Testament prophet, who is greater than any apostle or prophet. He's giving us the ability to turn to Christ, the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Are you worshiping the one who is greater than Solomon? Have you trusted him? Are you worshiping the one who is greater than Jonah? Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened today and upon all that has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy salvation. We commit the program to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. Mailing address, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Website, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.